So this morning I want to just share, because some of our candidates haven't had any teaching. Three people came last week. We had a few at the beginning of the service, but I want to share on the doctrine of baptisms. I wonder how many baptisms are there in the Bible? Three? Any bids on three? Two? That's going backwards. What about five? That'll get you listening today. Okay, so the doctrine of baptisms. There are three major baptisms for the Christian, and one future baptism that can be included for those who want to grow and go on in Christ. Baptism by one Spirit into the body. That's our position in Christ. So if you've not got that position in Christ, don't get baptized, because being baptized in water won't save you. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. We believe you need to be saved, repent, and be baptized. And then there's baptism in water, which will be the public confession of Christ, which is great. Baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will receive the power of Christ. And then there's baptism with fire mentioned in the Bible, for purification. And there's also, as I read it this morning, a fifth baptism, a baptism of suffering. Who would like to go for the fifth one? Baptized into one body, position. This is the baptism that all believers must know. If you don't know it, then you're not a believer. You might think you are, but you're not. You need to be baptized into the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14, it says, just as a body through one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. I think that's absolutely important for us to realize today. Just a little commentary on this. Christ is now a body with many parts. The human body of Jesus is glorified and enthroned in heaven. So also is the body of Christ. We are co-enthroned with him. In Romans, it says we are heirs of the Father and joint heirs with the Son. Isn't that amazing news? But we continue to exist on earth to represent him to the world. In our home groups, we'll be looking even deeper into the subject of water baptism in the next few weeks. We're looking at the doctrines of our church and of Assemblies of God. And today, I'm looking from a viewpoint. Bob Gordon was a great spiritual statesman, and he wrote a book on dedication, discipleship, and baptism, and I'm using a lot of his thoughts today. So the other baptisms are the believer's heritage rights purchased by Jesus when he died on the cross. You can make it to heaven without being baptized in water, without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or fire, or suffering. But you can't make it into heaven without being baptized into the body of Christ. We can make it to heaven without the other baptisms, but we must be baptized by the one Spirit into one body. This occurs at conversion. You've heard of the phrase, born again. You must be born again. Then you will know that you are saved. Whenever a person without Christ surrenders to him, the Holy Spirit, remarkably, enters into that person's life. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 9, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. I've been to different parts of the world and I've met somebody, and immediately I remember being in Bodrum, not Bodmin, Bodrum in Turkey. And of all the people we should meet at one of those ATM machines, there's a Christian from Rossendale. But we knew straight away, there was like a spirit witness with their spirit that they were born again. And they actually advised us about a hotel. It was when that cloud came. And they told us, why don't you go to this other place, this hotel? It's all inclusive. It's very cheap, £12 a night, and you will be blessed. It worked out. It was fantastic. Inherent in the work of the Holy Spirit is the placing of each newborn spiritual baby into the body of Christ. It's remarkable, isn't it? The amazing truth about this action is that it is not done in some kind of blanket fashion, but individually, God calls people to himself. Hallelujah. Have you felt that call? Because he's calling you to himself today, whoever you are. It's wonderful. And serious problems, you see, every new Christian is screened by the Holy Spirit, categorized and put in a certain place so that they might serve him in the way that he chooses. The problem is some of us don't like the place God's given us, so we move on and we do something different, or we don't like the work we're doing. We see somebody else who seems to have a better ministry than ours and like to have their ministry. Well, be satisfied with what God has called you to do and to be. That's very important. So don't try and change who you are. God has made you very special, unique. You don't need to read the stars. He made the stars. And if he made the stars to shine, if you ever study, you know, astronomy, and you see the solar system and the galaxy, the Milky Way, it's mind-blowing, isn't it? The universe is amazing. And our God made us, and he wants to come in us and use us as shining stars on earth. How beautiful is that? So we must, as Paul said, learn to be content in whatever situation we find ourselves. Only the Lord Jesus, who is the head of the body, may change the individual's functions, or even the whole body's functions, if necessary. Well, so we need to listen to him and go wherever he tells us to go and do whatever he tells us to do. That's called discipleship. And the first step of obedience in discipleship we will see today enacted in this place. Commitment to the local church and the body of Christ universally is essential, because we have been baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. People think I can be a Christian without going to church. Well, read the Bible again. You need to belong to a body of believers. You need to be involved in a local fellowship, a local situation. We never need be lonely again when we come into the body of Christ. I've got millions, billions of brothers and sisters all over the world. As I say, I was in Bodrum and I met a brother and a sister, and they gave us some help, some advice in that tricky situation when that volcanic cloud was stopping us from going home. It was wonderful. Please, more. No, I won't say. We got an extra week's holiday and all the holiday paid for by the insurance company. But anyway, that's another story. We need the body of Christ, and we are needed within it. There is not independence in the kingdom of God. Can't be an independent Christian. There's an interdependence on one another and a total dependence on him, Christ, who is our God and Savior. Wonderful. And we all need each other in order for the body to be the full expression of Jesus as God intends it to be. So if we're going to be the church God wants us to be, you need to be involved in the church. You need to come on Saturday and see what it's all about, how I can get involved, how I can be more aware of the vision for this church and for the area. We need to function, because the body cannot function fully without you. Do you know that? Sometimes the body of Christ, the local church setting, is limping because somebody's not playing the part. Nobody else will do it, you know. You need to do what God's called you to do. That's why you're here. That's why you're with us. So get stuck in. Every member is important. Every member is a minister. I'm not the only minister in this church. If you're saved, you're a priest. You're a minister. You have an obligation to serve the King of Kings. And you know what? He wants some slaves in his house. Slaves to the master. He is the master. Adonai, master of the universe. What a privilege to be a slave of the master of the universe. Oh, I get goosebumps when I think of what's happening now and what's going to happen in the future, when I've got a new redeemed body and I'm going to be like Jesus in his resurrection body. Ooh. And the body's a place of security. Christians should be the most secure people on the planet, because they are part of a body of which Jesus Christ is the head. And you know, he loves his body. He cares for his body. He even told the men, Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow, that's deep love. He went to the cross for you and for me. Have you received that salvation, that security? If we keep ourselves separate, then we cannot expect the benefits. So many Christians are wasting away, and when they get to heaven, they will be so upset that they didn't get more involved in the local church and in the church universal. The names given to the church can help you to understand. These are some of the names. Amazing. If I had time, I'd ask you to answer them. But the church is called the Church of God, frequently referred to. It's God's church, not ours. It's called a building, so there's order, there's structure and purpose. It's called the bride. Guys, you are the bride of Christ. How beautiful is that? Oh, it speaks of love, of commitment and union. It's called the body, function, completeness and interdependence. Family. You're my family this morning. Isn't that wonderful? And it's the biggest family in the world. Woo-hoo. Flock. I love that. I think it's my favourite one. He's the shepherd who has a wonderful flock. Bah, bah. We are his sheep. We are called and we hear his voice and we follow him. Golden lampstand. Did you know you are the golden lampstand, church? Just tell somebody at work tomorrow, I am a golden lampstand when I'm with God's people. How beautiful. They'll think you're crackers, but you know, it speaks of light, safety, position, direction, defense. God's field. We are born. I've not time to look at all these individually, but we are born to produce and be fruitful. God's fellow workers. Workers together with Christ. Workers together with God himself. I have the privilege of working with Jesus every day through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so do you. If you know him, it's the most wonderful thing. You are the mountain of the Lord. Have you ever been called a mountain? You could take that the wrong way, couldn't you? But the mountain of the Lord, 1 Isaiah 2 verse 3, speaks of solidarity, strength and safety. And you are also the pillar. Sometimes we have pillars in the church and they hold things up, don't they? They stop things from happening. But this, we are the pillar. Stability, support and truth is what God wants in our lives. Let me move to water baptism. Because we've looked at baptism in one spirit, into one body. If you've not asked Jesus into your life, do it now. And then you too can be baptized. Now let's look at this public confession. We have position in Christ, public confession. Water baptism is a believer's baptism. I was 14 years of age. You don't have to be old. You don't have to be 80 to be baptized. But you can be baptized at the age of 80. Wonderful. Isn't that amazing? Somebody today is going to be baptized. He is 80 years of age. And it is a physical act expressing a spiritual truth. In water baptism, we are saying in effect that we share with Christ in the fact of his death and resurrection. Obviously, the person being baptized is not dying for sin, as did Jesus. You're not dying for me. But you're dying. Rather, they are making a public testimony to the fact that they are availing themselves of Christ's work on the cross. As Christ died for sin, so they are symbolically dying to sin. As they go into the water and are completely submerged, note, the burial of the old sinful nature is symbolized. The nature is left under the water, and then the person is symbolically raised to new life in Jesus. This is a wonderful thing to do. They are declaring that they will live for Jesus as his disciple from now on. And those of you who have already been baptized, you will go through this baptism with them, and it will be like your baptism. It should be, because that's why God does it the way he does it, I think. In Galatians 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's not I who lives now, but it's Christ who lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The person being baptized is literally agreeing with God that they are dead in Christ to the principles of sin and death and they are now alive in Christ to God. It's a volitional agreement with God. I'm agreeing with you, Lord, about my life. You've ordained this before time began, and you knew that this would happen on this particular day. So baptism is a volitional agreement with God about the effects of the death of his son. And we willingly, gladly and joyfully, with joy, we associate ourselves with the redemptive work of the cross. So we look at the cross and we think, that was for me. I identify with Christ. A couple of questions and then some multi-confessions. Why immersion? The Greek word for baptism is baptizo, okay? That can never mean sprinkle. That's a different Greek word, rantism, it would be called, rather than baptism. So if you've been sprinkled as a baby, you have not been baptized. That's a lie of the church history, unfortunately. But thank God the truth by the Baptists was restored many years ago. And so we believe baptizo, which means to dip or immerse. The word was used to describe the immersion of cloth in a dye. John the Baptist baptized in the Aeon River because there was much water there, which indicates full immersion. John 3:23. Why, if he was going to sprinkle, why did he go in the water? Just bring some water up. It is a pledge. Full immersion. Why? The main reason is that only full immersion can properly symbolize burial. That is a watery grave. So those who have been baptized today, welcome to your funeral service. Because this is a burial of that old life. And if you don't believe me, let's have a look at Romans. If I can find Romans in my Bible. It's before Corinthians, which I've already looked at. And Romans chapter 6, 1 to 11. I need to read this. So if you've got your Bible, it's worth looking at. So what do we do then? Do we persist in sin that God's kindness and grace will increase? What a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all as a dead man passes away from his life. So how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the anointed one, were immersed or baptized into union with his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Could it be any clearer than our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of his life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death and its power over him is finished. For by his sacrifice he died to sin's power once and for all. But now he lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. Wow, there is so much. We could be preaching on that for the next 10 years because there's so much in that chapter. Awesome. So another reason, I believe, why full immersion is we remember little of what we just hear. So most of this sermon you will have forgotten by the time you walk out of this door. You could have my notes and you'll remember a lot more. Or if you took notes, as you're supposed to do as Christians, studiously looking into God's word, it's a good idea to take notes when somebody's preaching because you'll not learn if you don't. And but you something that you hear and see, you remember it a bit better, don't you? You know, so I went to Llandudno last week, and I remember the pier, and I remember walking on the pier, and it was red hot, which was a shock to us. In February, walking on Llandudno pier was very wonderful, and we enjoyed it. I nearly got an ice cream, but we did that later. But that which we see, hear, and take part in, we rarely forget. So when I was baptized as a 14-year-old boy, hundreds of months ago, I go through this baptism today as though it was then. And the water in Blakely Church on Victoria Avenue was freezing cold, I will tell you. But a 14-year-old lad, I'm not into this coldness. So we have ours heated for you. And the heat has been taken out so you can't get electrified, unless you want to. But yes, so that's another reason. Why should a person be water baptized? I've not got time to give you all the references. I'll just mention the verses. It's a command of Jesus when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well done. You know that one. Command. So there's no choice. You've got to do it. If you say you're following Jesus, don't stop kidding yourself. B, it is a pledge of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter 3:21. C, because Jesus himself was baptized. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're basically imitating his life on earth. And so to be baptized is to be like Jesus. Well done, those who are being baptized today. And there's someone who's going to be baptized next time. I really sense that today. Perhaps more than one. So I want to book the next baptismal service before the end of this service. I can do that if you tell me you want to be baptized. It's a kind of circumcision. I'm glad it's not the Old Testament kind, really. But that separated the Jews as being God's own people, didn't it, in the world. He looked down upon them, he saw the circumcised, they're my people. And Paul says this to the Colossians, this is what God, this is your mark. You've been baptized, I recognize you on earth. Isn't that good? So we are God's chosen people, friends. So be baptized as one of his chosen. And then there's another reason why a person should be baptized. It was foundational doctrine of the early church. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people gave their hearts and lives to Jesus. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Old, young, black, white, whatever color, whatever background, whatever culture, you need to be baptized. Male, female, let's all be baptized. It says, repent and be baptized. You ever seen a baby repent? I've seen a baby gurgle, babies cry, not seen one repent. So that's why we don't christen babies or baptize babies. We, as believers, receive the baptism in water. Water baptism symbolizes washing or cleansing. Acts chapter 22, verse 16. This is only a symbol, as in fact, we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Revelation 1, verse 5. And we are cleansed by the word of God. John 15, verse 3. So as you read the word of God, it cleanses your mind and your heart. As you study the word of God, there's a cleansing going on, a purification. The fact that you've come to hear God's word this morning will cleanse you. You'll go out feeling cleaner than when you came in. It's like an inside shower or a bath, so that you can be clean through the washing of the water of the word. So these are all good things. However, our washing or cleansing from sin is symbolized and testified in water baptism. It is an outward confession of what has happened within. It expresses, as we read in Romans 6, our identification with Christ. A lot of talk about identity today. Where's your identity? Mine is in Christ. I really know who I am because I know who Christ is. Because Christ knows me, found me, saved me, and brought me into his family. And the last thought here is baptism in water is a multi-confession. It's a multi-confession. Those who have been baptized, listen to this. You're actually confessing to heaven of your belief in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He was dead, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. It also, it's a confession to the church. You're confessing that I belong to the church. Universal. And if you're local, the church here, which is great. Together you're confessing that you belong to the church. You're part of it. You're also, with your baptism, you're making a confession that to the world. It's a public testimony for one thing, isn't it? Especially when we do it in Hollingworth Lake. Let's pray the next one in the public arena. That would be good, wouldn't it? That'd be so good. I loved those baptisms, and I loved swimming in the lake afterwards. It was cold, though. It was cold. It wasn't as cold as Blakely Church's baptismal tank, but it was cold. And but it's not just a confession to the world in that sense. It's a confession to the world. I am finished with the world. It's got nothing to offer me. Jesus has got everything I need. And then the last one, it's a confession to the devil that we are finished with him. We've changed sides. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. And I tell you what, Manchester City could not afford you. They could not pay the price for you. Jesus paid the price for you when he died on the cross to transfer you from darkness into light. From being lost, now you're found because of his amazing grace. So in water baptism, we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you're being baptized. That's why we baptize people in this church. Isn't that exciting? So I'm going to pray now, and I want those who are being baptized to come forward, because we may get a little testimony from most of you, but